another episode of the Cybe Exhibit Podcast, brought to you by Cyclops for Taser NG. And today we will be talking about privacy paradox, balancing security and convenience. And I have an amazing guest with me today. His name is Orelua Jetawo. Orelua is an IA-skilled and motivated cybersecurity professional with a proven track record of safeguarding digital assets and improving security postures. He has a strong background in conducting security assessments, orchestrating automation, and implementing preventing controls to mitigate vulnerabilities.
Okay, hello, my name is Orelua Jetawo, and I am somebody. I'm just a guy who is in love with cybersecurity, right? So, right since I was a young boy. So that's really all about me.
How do you define the privacy paradox, and why is it important in today's digital age?
Okay, so let's start with, first of all, what is a paradox, right? So we all know a paradox is like a self-contradictory statement, right? So say something like, you save money by spending it. How? I beg. How is that even possible? Yeah. So now let's try to relate this to cybersecurity, right? Privacy paradox. So it's like, you know what is actually safe, but you are still acting to the contrary, right? Mostly for the sake of convenience.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So, what are some common examples of situations where people prioritize convenience over security and vice versa?
Oh, a lot, actually. So, take for instance now, you're about to log into an application, yeah? You're about to register into a random website online, and now it's time for you to use a password, yeah? And you decide to use 12345. So your data breach, on data privacy, but you're using weak passwords. Just imagine. So let me use another example, right? So you go to a cafe or you're at the airport, right? And you see free Wi-Fi and you connect.
Okay.
So easy for someone, for a man in the middle to just intercept your traffic and sniff out all your activities while you're actually on that free Wi-Fi. You get, so you also see people posting stuff on social media. Take for instance now, you see a post and the post is like telling you, okay, that lists each month and probably a nickname to each month and each day and also each year, and it says, okay, let us know what name you are called now. Just use your date of birth. And you see people actually piecing in those dots and putting in the new names that they will actually be called, right? So indirectly, you are giving out what dates, what month, and what year you're actually born. I'm very sure that people use those figures, right, for probably your internet banking, or probably your PIN for your phone. You get, so, but for these people, so some people know, but they just don't care.
Okay.
Like some people don't know. You get, for the sake of convenience, take for instance now, you can't, some people just having a long password is just very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something I can easily remember, 12345, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You get.
Yeah, I do. More like,
exactly.
More like if I get what you're saying, right, that people understand this, but then they are too lazy or they don't just do it.
Yeah, exactly, because they are just too laid back, basically.
Okay, so what role do or let me just ask this question first. Okay, what are the psychological factors that contribute to the privacy paradox, and how do people perceive the trade-offs between conveniency and security?
I'll just say one word, optimism bias, basically. So people just underestimate security risks while overvaluing the convenience of digital services. When I say so, take for instance now, you are reading, when you are filling a form, they tell you, okay, these are the terms and conditions, make sure you read it before you proceed. 99% of people don't actually read those terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm. Including me.
Exactly. So what if in those terms and conditions, there's an hidden clause that says, okay, that this data that you are giving us here, they were selling it to a third. Exactly. But you didn't know, and you're complaining. But you didn't read it. You didn't read it. And you're complaining. Do you get? But I understand. It can be very. But even at the same time, it's just important that we cultivate that habit. Yeah. Because people don't really just for sake of convenience. Oh, I'm tired, or it's too long, please don't disturb me, it's too long. You get that kind of stuff. So exactly.
Companies and organizations play in influencing the privacy choices, and how can they strike a better balance between convenience and security?
Okay, so that's a very good question, actually. So the thing is, companies often shape the choices their employees make through their security design and based thought setting.
Okay.
Take for instance now, this is the minimum password. Using numeric characters, they get some companies also enforce using VPNs and using zero trust softwares for remote working. Some companies also enforce using password manager, right? So instead of having to remember all your passwords, all you need to just remember is just one password that gives you access to all your passwords. So how they can actually strike that balance between convenience and security, it's just very simple. They have to educate their employees, right? They have to push out an awareness scheme. They have to let them know that in as much as we know that this is very convenient for you to do, but you are harming yourself rather than doing good. You get
okay.
So,
okay, this part. So they were telling me that I can only use characters as my username. Like I can't just like impute anything. I think that's like that's like a very good way to start.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay,
you're welcome.
How do regulations and laws, or let me even ask, are there regulations and laws that that guide privacy, data, and all of that?
Yeah, definitely. So in Nigeria, there's something we call NDPR, right? That's Nigeria Data Protection Regulation. Yeah, there's also something else we call GDPR, that's General Data Protection Regulation. So that's that binds or that covers EU citizens in and out of EU, right? So then the NDPR guides Nigerian citizens in and out of Nigeria. These regulations basically they empower we individuals, all of us. They give us more control over our data. So potentially they're just trying to shift that balance from convenience to privacy. Okay, so now I know which data of mine is being collected. I know how it's being managed. So now they're making me very, very aware. Right? But now, you know, for every advantage, yeah, there's always a disadvantage. Yeah. Exactly. So it's not really a disadvantage, but it's still a disadvantage in the sense of now certain services, because of those services are not now compliant. But it's better safe than sorry, yeah. There's this slang, you see, so that fish doesn't drown inside water. You know, it's not possible for fish to drown inside water, right? So I don't start yelling what can boost to it. Exactly. Yeah. So,
okay, so in a nutshell, do they help in finding a balance, or do they introduce new challenges? Like, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, they help to find the balance.
Okay. All right. Thank you so far for the wonderful point. Can you discuss the ethical implications of the privacy paradox, particularly in technology industries and also social media and advertising?
Okay. So let me give you an example here. So I was talking to a friend, yeah, that I had to buy something, yeah.
Okay.
So I just went on Jumia and I started seeing an ad regarding what I said I wanted to buy. I'm like, how big? How?
How big?
You get it? So take for instance now, yeah, that I visit. So I remember visiting a website, yeah. Then I go on YouTube and I'm seeing an ad for the website I visited. I'm like, come on, can't I do something that is actually really private? And you guys are not following me up and down.
Did you get when I said, is that SEO poisoning?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's just very fun. Even. Let's switch to Imagine Tech now. Let's switch to ChatGPT now. See, in as much as using AI is very, very good, yeah, but most companies rather completely block use of generative AIs, especially ChatGPT, because people don't know what when you feed it prompt, you're supposed to feed in prompt of just something that is publicly known, not PR information or not company sensitive data. In your head you're like, oh, I just needed to help me to refresh some or help me to reshape some, but it's storing somewhere, right? So yeah. Definitely somebody asks ChatGPT for an information. Okay. There's a high possibility that I might reference what you actually gave it as an example for that person. It's very, very possible you get. So in as much as ChatGPT is very, very, very important here, you should still be very wary of feeding it sensitive data.
Okay, so what you're saying is that ChatGPT doesn't really support incognito browsing, right? Like, you can't really have a total private browsing if you're dealing with all this AI, generative AI in particular. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could definitely.
Okay. That's something, because I think I've used the ChatGPT cook up my resume. I just said to Chago, like, can you give
no,
me
no, it's actually no. So there's nothing really sensitive in your email, right? So you add in your resume, right? Because you can literally put your resume online and anyone else give you a job, right? So you have your email there, you have your phone number there. Well, technically, it's not that sensitive,
okay,
because anyone can find you. But when you have things like your, I remember when I was talking to someone, yeah, and in his resume I saw his BVN. I was like, what?
BVN?
Apparently, so the people that told him to send him his resume, they told him to either put his BVN there.
Why?
You get? Exactly. And I was asking myself.
That's a red flag already. Why would they ask for your BVN?
Well, it's a bank. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So, how can individuals become more informed about privacy implications of their digital choices? Are there resources or tools you would recommend?
Yeah, so take for instance, you can use privacy enhanced web browsers, likes of DuckDuckGo. Yeah, those browsers are structured in such a way that they ensure your privacy.
Right?
Rather than just using the regular Google. Yeah. You're also using VPNs, right? You want to. Yeah, I know.
Guys, expect.
So if you see free wife, you get. But it's very, very important here. Look at how much you can lose by how much information you let out here. It's just easy. You can just download a VPN, right? You can download TunnelBear and there is one I'm trying to remember. You can just download a VPN, right?
Like once you try,
exactly, Winscribe. There's one I'm trying to remember, I can't remember. But in a nutshell, so just download one. Whenever you connect to a public Wi-Fi, yeah, connect to that VPN, right? So that VPN encrypts your traffic. Okay? So people think that the VPN is just for changing the IP address, no. So it also helps to encrypt your traffic, right? So even though someone sniffs out that data, yeah, the person sniffs out an encrypted information, yeah. And now you are without encrypted information because it's very useless to you. You get so another thing is I mentioned earlier using password managers, right? There are a lot of good password managers around. There is 1Password, yeah. So all you have to do is you just need to remember just 1Password. So in this very big head of yours, in this very big head of mine, yeah, all I need to remember is just 1 nice. So instead of using password, you can even use a password. So you can even use a passphrase, yeah. Something that's easy for you to relate to. Okay, so take for instance, like I have a password like this, okay. I like to play football. Yeah, so I like to play football. It's very easy for you to remember, but it's very long, right? So you can have capital letter wherever you like it. You can also have special characters probably in between the I like to play football. You get so something. You can also change the football, the 00 to 00. You get so it's very easy for you to remember. You understand? But it's very, very hard. If someone decides to crack that password, you take. I'm pretty sure. I don't think the person will even be alive self to even see that password crack. Do you get? So all you need to do is just remember just 1Password. Yeah. Then the other passwords can be recommended to you by your password manager. And I'm begging, please don't save your credit card details or your password on your browser. That's so bad because if someone takes over your browser, right? Or the person needs to, even if not even, it's not even take over, save. a random person, so a random person can just take your laptop, right? Yeah, probably you go off for lunch and you don't lock your system. I go to your browser, I go to passwords. I'm seeing your password, I'm seeing your credit card details. Ah, I will, you know, in Yoruba, so there's something called Ifa. I will, Bonanza. You get it?
Yeah,
so I've seen free credit card. Make a reason and buy something. And you get it? So, and one important last thing here, everyone needs to actually be reorientated. Yeah, we all need to change our mindsets, right? There's everyone's privacy is very important. Yeah, you can't just say that who am I? What data am I trying to protect? You don't know who you are going to become later in the future, right? They can use that data, harvest that data, and use it against you later on. Do you get?
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone's mindset needs to actually change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to understand that we are not helping anybody, we're actually helping ourselves, right?
Yeah.
To remain secure in this so unsecure world.
Yeah, we're trying to get sophisticated.
Guy, every day we're just hearing that different things are happening.
Recently or last month I read about deepfake. This AI that can literally can clone your voice or can clone a particular emotion expression from, let's say, a movie, then match it with somebody's voice, so they can actually fake kidnap somebody, then send it to their family. So all they have to do is get an emotion, maybe crying or screaming, then get the voice of the person they need, then match it together. That's all they need.
Yeah, we're talking about voice. You can use it to fake an appearance of somebody.
Are you serious?
Take for instance, I can put AY, I can pose as you if I can pose as you using. I can pose as AY. I can post a video online as AY. I'm talking, it's already talking, but it's AY's face that I should. AY's face, AY's voice. That's how serious it is. You know, things are changing, so
we
just have to ensure that.
Exactly.
To match up with the
level of threats coming up, we need to also like improve, upgrade. I get you. Thank you so much for your time. I had so much fun. The next time I'm opening any account or anything, my password is going to be 20 times longer. You can't even
thank you
because yes, if it's easy to crack, then you are easy to hack. So you need
yes, exactly. I'm very pleased.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening and thank you for your time. When it comes to protecting data from external and internal dangers and choosing what digitally stored data can be shared and with whom, security becomes crucial. Data privacy refers to parts of the data sharing process, including how and where that data is maintained, and the precise legislation that applies to those activities. Protect yourself today. Thank you.